Today's daf is Yevamos daf Ayin Ches. We are holding toward the bottom of daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Today we're going to talk about the Isser of a Mitzri, and particularly how after three generations a Mitzri is Mutter Lava Bekal. What exactly are the Gedarim of that? How do we calculate the generations? That's going to lead us into a discussion of Ubar Yerech Imo, whether how much a fetus is considered a part of its mother and how much a fetus is considered a separate entity of its mother. And then in Amud Beis we're going to have a Mishnah that starts to discuss Mamzerim and Nesinim, continuing in Yichus related issues, the Yisra of Mamzerim and Nesinim, Lava Bakal. And when we talk about Nesinim, it's going to lead us into the Almaisa with David HaMelech, when David HaMelech was Gozer, that Nesinim are Aser to be Lava Bakal, that we're not allowed to marry into the Nesinim. So we left off on the bottom of Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. We are middle of discussing the Machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan in our Mishnah, where Rabbi Shimon had a Kalvachomer to suggest that a mitzris should be mutaras lava bakal, because if after all, even the Moavim and the Ammonim, where the Isser is an Isser Olam, still we allow the female members, so you would imagine that by a mitzri, where it's only an Isser for three generations, for sure would be more makel and we'd allow the females as well. But it wasn't just that, it wasn't just the Kal v'chomer, it was also that he had a Mesorah, that he had a Halacha that was given to him by Mesorah to say that way. So we are holding at Tanya, I believe. I think so. Yeah, Tanya, about five lines from the bottom, I guess. Tanya, Amalim, Rabbi Shimon, Halacha, Niyomer, Va'od, Mikromisayeni, Banim, Vlo, Banos. He says that, first of all, it's a Halacha that I'm saying, I have a tradition. And second, there's a Pasuk that seems to support me. The Pasuk says, Banim, and the implication is, Vlo, Banos, that female members of the Mitzvah Adomi people are permitted. Tanra, Banim, Vlo, Banos, Tiv, Rabbi Shimon. The Braisa records that, in fact, Rabbi Shimon's opinion is based on Banim, Vlo, Banos. Amar, Rabbi Yudah, Rei, Amar, Banim, Asher, Yivoldulam, Dar, Shlishi, Hakas of Talim, Beleda. It doesn't just say banim, it says banim asher yivaldu lahem. So it sounds like it's tali in leida, it's not just tali in banim. So we see that therefore nekevos would also be asur, because they are also asher yivaldu. Am Rabbi Yochanan, ilav dam Rabbi Yehuda, kasav talim beleda, lo matzi yadav raglav beis hamedrash. If Rabbi Yehuda would not say that it's all tali in leida, and therefore girls are also included in the isser of a mitzri, then we'd have a very difficult time figuring out how a mitzri would ever become mutter. Because since we hold that when someone becomes a ger, they are now considered part of the kahal, and therefore they're not allowed to, whoever's usher for a regular Jew to marry would be usher for the ger to marry as well. So mitzri sheni b'mayitar, how would a mitzri sheni ever get to the point of mitzri shlishi? We always assume mitzri sheni will just marry a mitzris shnia, but if the mitzris shnia is a kahal gerim, so the mitzri sheni is not allowed to marry the mitzris shnia. So when, how would he ever become tara? We'd never have a situation where you'd ever be able to get to Dar Shlishi. So says Gemara, what do you mean? How could it ever happen? Dilma di avar v'nasiv. So maybe the case would be if he violated the Isser of marrying him, the mitzvah Shania, who was a Kal Gerim, violated the Isser and married the guy. Doesn't mean everyone always observes halacha, and that's how you'd end up with this situation where you have a mitzri Shlishi. Says Gemara, di'i lok sivkra. The Torah wouldn't be teaching us a case of di'i, where if you violated an Isser and you got to that point. Hare mamzer di'i v'kas v'kra. Torah tells us you're not allowed to marry a mamzer, and a mamzer is a very bidyevit situation. That only happens because someone did something very, very wrong. Di'i li'isura kasav. Di'i la'atera lo kasav. Now, when the di'i is introducing an iser, that the Torah will say. But a di'i of heter, where it says that dor shlishi is yavo b'kal Hashem, that by the third generation it's mutter, the Torah wouldn't set up such a case. Hare machzer grushaso di'i la'atera v'kasve. What about Machzer Grushaso, where that's a case of D.E., where it's an unfortunate situation because the guy divorced his wife and she married someone else, and then he violated the Isser of remarrying her, and nevertheless we darshan that he toeva ve'in boneha toevin, that the children are okay, and nevertheless the Torah says it. Hasum yishum ikiri suruhu dekasve. Now over there the Torah is trying to tell me he toeva, that being Machzer Grushaso is in fact a problem. That's the primary chiddush over there. The primary chiddush is not about about the heter of Ein Baneh Toevin, it's about the actual Isser of herself. Now Tosfos raises the question, the Gemara was perplexed. How could, if we were to say that the Mitzris is totally Kal Gerim and she's totally Mitzris, then how could it be that you'd ever get to a Mitzri Shlishi because the Mitzri Sheni wouldn't be allowed to marry her? Tosfos says, what do you mean? There are other Eitzas. There are other people that the Mitzri Sheni would be able to marry. Vim Tomer, Yisa Shtukis. Let him marry a Shtukis. A Shtukis is someone who we don't know, or Yichus. We don't know if she's a Mamzeris or not. So Rabbi Yudha Yisrael Perkasar Yuchsin Bekal Vaday Hudalo Yavo. HaBekal Safek Yavo. That it's only an Isser for a Mitzri to come to marry Kal Vaday. But Kal Safek, he's allowed to marry. Vaben Nami Ye Mutalova Bekal, the Mamzer Vaday Hudalo Yavo, Mamzer Safek Yavo. And the offspring would be Mutalova Bekal because the offspring would not be considered a Mamzer. Only Mamzer Vaday is Asalova Bekal. Mamzer Safek would be Mutter. So that would solve the problem. So the Tosfos says, no, Shtukin Lo Shchichi. How often does that come up? Inami de Mamzeris Lo Efshal Be Iser Chashiv Di'i Vaday Lo Ksiv. Vim Tomer, the next suggestion Tosfos says, V'yisa Nesina V'avlad Kashal Rabbi Yochanan Dar Mesamach Mitzri Sheni Shnasa Mitzri Shishona B'na Shlishi Havid Debasa Didei Shadinan. Why don't we say let him marry a Nesina where the Vlad is going to be Kashal according to the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan that we follow the Yichus of the father. So if the Mitzri Sheni marries a Nesina, the child won't be a Nesina, the child will be Mutter. Says V'yisham Rabbi Yochanan Da'acha Samar Ki'idach Rabbi Yochanan. We're going to have two deos of Rabbi Yochanan later on. The other day of Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that no, we don't follow the father, we follow the mother's yichus, in which case this would not be an eitzah. There was a tshuva in Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger is a startling chiddush where he points out that according to this chiddush, this gemara is somewhat perplexing. The Rabbi Yehuda holds in Maseches Baba Kama, Daf Pei Zayin, that a suma is pata from all mitzvos. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger suggests, what does it mean he's pata from all mitzvos? Does it mean he's pata from all mitzvos asay, but he's still not allowed to eat a ham sandwich, he's not allowed to be mechallel Shabbos? What does this mean? He's mamish, pater from everything. That even los haseis don't apply to him. To even entertain such a possibility, you know, that a suma would be pater from everything. That even from los haseis. So he says, l'chora would turn out that a mitzri shlishi would be, you'd be able to come up with the situation of heter for a mitzri shlishi. You have a mitzri sheni suma that marries a mitzri shniya. So then they'd be mutter zebezeh, because the mitzri sheni suma is pater from all mitzvahs. He can marry whoever he wants. It wouldn't be a problem. So the child would be a mitzri shlishi beheter. So he said, from here we see this is the raya that a suma is pata from mitzvah saseh, but he's still chayiv in the lo saseh. That he used this as well. Otherwise, we would have had a hechi timtza to come up how you'd have such a case. So in the tshuva sholem meshiv, he rejects this raya because you can't say that the mitzvah shlishi we're talking about is a situation of a mitzvah suma, since the gerus never would have been kosher in the first place. Because part of gerus, he says, is kabbalas al mitzvos. But if someone is pata from all mitzvos anyway, he can't be megayer because he can't have a kabbalas al mitzvos, which is also a phenomenal chiddush. That someone who's going to be pata from mitzvos cannot be shaykh to a kabbalas mitzvos. You might have said, what do you mean? He's shaykh to an eina mitzvah of yosa. Kabbalas mitzvos is an eina mitzvah of yosa. No, he said, if he can't be mekabel a chiyuv of mitzvos, then he's not shaykh to a geris. That's how the Sholem Eshev wants to tie now. Tan Rabbanan, bait in the Gemara. Im nemar banim, lama nemar doros. When the Torah tells us the iser of the mitzri, it says, banim asher yuvaldu lehem dor shlishi yavalem bekal Hashem. The children that they have, the third generation will come to Kal Hashem. So why does it have to say both the phrase banim and both the word banim and the word doros? Let us just say ben shlishi yavo or dor shlishi yavo. Why is it banim asher yuvaldu dor shlishi yavo? Why does it have to mention both? Vim nemar doros lemin nemar banim. Use one phrase or the other. Sim nemar banim lo nemar doros yisi omer. The Gemara explains, had it only used the word banim and not used the word doros, we would have thought ben rishon v'sheni aser shlishi mutter lekach nemar doros. We would have thought that the first and second child of the ger mitzri are aser, but the third child of that ger, meaning his third kid, not third generation, but his third kid, would already be mutter. That's why I say doros. That no, it doesn't go by the number of children that he has; it goes by the generations. Vim namar doros lo namar banim. And if it would have said doros, but it would not have said banim, hayisi omer lo osana omdim al harsinai. I would have thought that it's only the doros counting from harsinai lekach namar banim. That's why it says specifically banim, to tell me that it's not only for the doros by harsinai. Rashi says, says that we would have thought that only those Jews who were standing in Har Sinai have the din of a Dar Shlishi. Their Dar Shlishi is Yavala Mikal, that it's their children that are Aser B'Mitzri V'Adomi, but B'nai Banim, their grandchildren, meaning that we don't go by the third generation from the Gerus of the particular Mitzri V'Adomi, we go by the third generation of the Jew who's going to marry the Mitzri V'Adomi, and that generation counts from Har Sinai. So a Mitzri V'Adomi is allowed to marry a third generation from Har Sinai and on, which would mean the whole Isser doesn't apply anymore, because no one is around anymore from the third generation from Har Sinai. That's what we would have thought. So Tosfos Ben Parat says, why in the world would we have ever thought that? Meaning, what Isser in the Torah, what mitzvah in the Torah, or Isser in the Torah only applies to that to the first generation or the first couple of generations by Har Sinai, and then ceased to apply afterwards? Why would we ever even have had such a Havamina more than any other mitzvah in the Torah? And furthermore, the Gemara has answered, that's why it says Banim. It's still, we can still say it's only by those Banim whose forefathers stood at Har Sinai, and not beyond that. Why does Banim solve that problem? So Rabbeinu Peretz explains that since it says in the Torah, Lo Titaiv Mitzri Ki Gera Yisa Ba'artso, we would have thought that the Mitzrim Shenizgairu Lo Titaivum Ela Ad Shlosh Adoros, that those Mitzrim that were Megayer, we only have the three generation rule, meaning that when they give birth to a second generation and third generation, so then if the first generation is still alive, then you can marry them, because they did a tova for Klal Yisrael that they allowed us to live in their lands. So we can't distance them forever. Just we wait till they become grandparents, because then they'll be mishtakech shem mitzrim. But now that the Torah says banim, so we see that they're mutter after three generations. So you can't be mechalik to say that a mitzri rishon is going to be mutter when a third generation is going to be born, because by banim you can't say that, because they didn't do a tova for Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. So if we're going to apply it beyond that first generation of Mitzrim, Mimela, now we're going to apply it forever, because we see it has nothing to do, meaning the Havamina is that it would have had to do with the relationship that we actually had with those Mitzrim who hosted us in Mitzrayim. So therefore comes tell us that no, it has nothing to do with those particular people who we actually had that relationship with. So Lahem Mehem Mana, the Gemara is going to make several drushes. Lahem, the Pasuk says, Asher Yivaldu Lahem, we learn Halach Achar Psulan, that we follow the Psul, meaning it says Lahem twice. So if Mitzri marries a kosher person, or Yisrael marries a Mitzris, we follow the yichus of the Mitzri. We follow the yichus of the pasul in terms of counting the generations, rather than the yichus of the kosher. Visrich lemichtav lahem, visrich lemichtav asher yivaldu. Now both the phrase lahem and the phrase asher yivaldu are necessary, meaning we shouldn't. Rashi points out, delo tema asher yivaldu mibneihem mana v'kosher. Meaning, one would have thought that we should count from that lahem implies that we count first generation starting from the actual Mitzri convert. Asher Yivaldu sounds like we start counting from the next generation, from the first generation that's born. Dikos Rachman Asher Yivaldu. Had it only said Asher Yivaldu, have a meaning mibnei mana kos Rachman lahem, I would have thought you only start counting the generations from their offspring. You don't start counting the generations from them. That's why the pasuk says lahem. Vikos Rachman lahem, and had the Torah said lahem, have a meaning mitzris mu uberes shenizgaira hi ubna chad. I would have thought that if a mitzris that's pregnant is megayer, that she and her son are considered one. They're considered the one unit, one generation. That's why the pasuk says asher yivaldu, that the vlad is considered the next generation. Ve'isrich l'michtav lahem hacha ve'isrich l'michtav lo gabe mamzer, and needs to use the word lahem over here by the mitzri and lo by the mamzer. Dikas rachmana hacha mishum debami tipa psula. If it only would have said over here by the Mitzri, I would say, yeah, the Mitzri is worse off, because the Mitzri comes from a tipa psula. Aval mamzer debami tipa ksheira emalo. But a mamzer who comes from a kosher father, because comes from a Yisrael tar, it's just who's doing a very bad avera by sleeping with the woman that he was sleeping with, but it's a tipa ksheira that he emerges from, so we would have thought that that wouldn't be quite as bad. Because Rachmana Gabi Mamzer, and if it only would have said by Mamzer, Mishum Dein Rav Lava Bakali Yoldam, we would say, well, Mamzer is obviously a lot worse, meaning to tell us that Mamzer is a lot worse because the Mamzer is Usher forever. Aval Hacha Imalo, but by the Mitzri, maybe it's not so bad because the Isser is not forever. Tzricha, that's why it has to say Lahem, and that's why it has to say Lo by the Mamzer, to tell us that we always follow the Pasul person in the relationship. That's a Chiddush that it teaches us both by a Mitzri and by a Mamzer, that if a Mamzer marries a Yisraelis, you a regular kosher Yisraelis, you might think, okay, the child is the daughter is an offspring of Yisraelis. No, child is an offspring of a Mamzer. You follow the Psul. So it has to tell us to follow the Psul both by a Mitzri and by a Mamzer, because each one has a Chumrah that the other one does not have. That's why it has to tell me both. So now the Gemara is going to have two versions of what Rabbi Yochanan holds when you have a Mitzri Sheni that marries a Mitzris Rishona. What do you consider the second generation? Do you follow the father's yichus and count the next generation as a shlishi already? Or do you follow the mother's yichus and count the next generation as a sheni? So it's two dayas within Rabbi Yochanan. First day is Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. It's Rabba Bar Bar Chana in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Mitzri sheni shenasa mitzris rishona. If you have a second generation Mitzri that marries a first generation female Mitzri, B'nash Lishi Avai, the child is going to be a third generation Mitzri, meaning we go Lekula and follow the father's Yichus to make the child a Shlishi. That seems to imply that Rabbi Yochanan holds we look at the father's yichus, not the mother's yichus. Frakta Gemara, two questions on this. Masav Rav Yosef, Rabbi Tarfon Omer Yicholin Mamzer Litaher. Rabbi Tarfon says there's a way to make to see to it that Mamzerim will be able to have offspring that are kosher. Ketzad, Mamzer Nasa Shivcha Havlad Eved. If a Mamzer marries a Shivcha, then the Vlad is going to be an Eved. The Vlad is not going to be a Mamzer. The Vlad is going to be Miyuchas after the mother. Shichero, if you're then Meshachar the Eved, Nimtza Ben Chorin. Then the Vlad is going to be a Ben Chorin. The Vlad is going to be a regular Jew. Alma Basar Di Dasha Dinale. But don't you see that we're following the mother's Yichus over here, not the father's Yichus? Isn't this a Raya against Rabbi Yochanan who holds that we always follow the father's Yichus? Says Mar Shaini Yasam Damakrah, Yisha Vyolada, Tiel. That's specifically when it comes to a shivcha. The yichus of a shivcha overwhelms any other psul yichus. So the yichus of a shivcha is ultimately the ultimate psul yichus, and that's the one that gets transferred over to the child. I think Rav Moshe has a tshuva like this somewhere, where someone was a mamzer, he wants to know if it's shaykh for him to get married. And I think maybe it's not Rav Moshe, maybe Rav Sternbach, sounds more like Rav Sternbach, where he suggests no problem with just find someone who's studying to become a Gioras but has not yet become a Gioras and tell her, look, instead of becoming a Gioras, maybe I'll just buy you as a Shivcha Kananis. You know, it's a technicality. So instead of becoming a Gioras, it'll be a Shivcha Kananis. We'll have children. We'll be Meshachar the children. And then you'll be a Gioras afterwards. After, you know, I'll be Meshachar, you'll become a Gioras also. So maybe that would be that would be a solution to be Matarah's children, to find a Shidduch. You have to find a girl who's willing to agree to that. The Shidduch crisis has to get pretty bad, probably, to find someone who's willing to agree to that. Okay, Masiv Rava, second Kasha on the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. Am Rabbi Yehuda, Minimin Ger Mitzri Haya, Lichaver Mitamid Rabbi Akiva. We already learned about this. Minimin was a Ger Mitzri who was from the Tamid Rabbi Akiva. Va'amer, Ani Mitzri Rishon V'Nasasi Mitzris Rishona. He said, I'm a first generation Mitzri and I married a first generation Mitzris. Asi L'Bini Mitzris Shnia, Kedei She Ben Bini Roy Lov Bekal. The only way my son, who's a Mitzri Sheni, is going to have children who are Roy Lov Bekal is if he marries a Mitzris Shnia. But according to V'Yisal Kedaituch Pasrei Didesha Dinalei, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, that you always follow the father's yichus, why does the kid as a mitzri sheni have to marry a mitzri shnia? I feel a rishona nami. Let him marry a mitzri rishona, and we'll follow the father's yichus anyway, and the children will be dor shlishi. Says Gemara, Harmalei Rabbi Yochanan Latana Tani Rishona. So he says, yeah, inachinami, we have the wrong mesora of what Menimin actually said. What he actually said was that he was going to marry his son off to a mitzris Rishona, and still the grandchildren would be okay, because we follow the father's yichus. That is all one version of Rabbi Yochanan. But now we move on to the second version of what Rabbi Yochanan says. Ki asa Rav Dimi, Kiyasa Rav Dimi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mitzri Sheni, Shenasa, Mitzris Rishona, B'na Sheni Havai. Alma Basarime Shadinale. That if you have a Mitzri Sheni marries a Mitzri Shrishona, the offspring is going to be a Sheni, because we follow the mother, we don't follow the father in terms of the Yichus. We follow the mother in terms of the Yichus, the exact opposite of what Rabbi Yochanan said in Rabbi Barbar Chana's version of Rabbi Yochanan. This is Rav Dimi's version of Rabbi Yochanan, that we follow the mother. Now, exactly what this means is a machlokas rishonim over here. That clearly, Rabba holds the father, we follow the father, and it's a mystery shlishi. Rav Dimi holds we follow the mother, in this case, the mystery sheni. The rishonim argue, what would Rav Dimi hold if we would, in terms of if the following the mother would be a kula, meaning if the mother was the sheni and the father was the rishon, would we still follow the mother and say that the offspring is going to be a dar shlishi? We say mitzri rishon nasa mitzri shniya. Where would we say we still follow you? Say you follow the mother and the child is going to be mutalava bakal as a mitzri shlishi? Or do you say no? In that case, you'd go luchumra. You'd follow the father, and that's all Rav Dimi is saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. They always go with the more chumur one in the relationship. The Ramban writes that in that situation, the vlad would follow the mother, would be kosher. You always go with the mother, even the kula. The Rambam in the 12th parak of Yisuri Bia writes that a mitzri rishon that marries a mitzri shniya, the vlad is going to be a sheni because he's holich achara av, which is the pogum shebishnehem. Meaning that Rabbi Yochanan does not hold you follow the mother according to this version. Rather, Rabbi Yochanan holds you follow whatever's worse, whatever makes life more miserable for him. So the vlad would only follow the mother lechumra and not lekula. In Shulchan Aruch says both deos, mitzri sheni shnas mitzri rishona havlad sheni. Mitzri Rishon Shnas and Mitzri Shniya Yesha Omrim Shavad Shlishi Ulshitas HaRambam Havlad Sheni. He quotes both Shitas. The Rambam explains, because the Pasuk says Banam Asher Yivaldu Lahem, so the Torah links it to Leda. So Magen Mishnah explains what he means by that is, since it says Banam Asher Yivaldu Lahem Dar Shlishi, and you can't have a Leda without an Av and an Aim, so it sounds from the Pasuk that in order to be Matir Mitzri Lava Bakal, you need a Shlishi. He needs to be a Shlishi by everyone who's critical to his Leda. He needs to be at least a Dor Shlishi for both his Av and his Aim. That's the emphasis on Leda. That's the Shitas HaRambam. So says Gemara, Amle Abaye, Elohadam Rabbi Yochanan, Hifrish Chatos Muber. Meaning now the Gemara is going to assume that the reason that we follow the mother is because of Uber Yarachimo, that the child is more connected to the mother than he is to the father because of Uber Yarachimo. Now, if that's the case, asks the Gemara, Amle Abaye, Elohadam Rabbi Yochanan, Hifrish Chatos. Let's say a person sets aside an animal as a carbon chatas, and the animal is pregnant when he designated it as a carbon chatas, and then it gives birth. He has the option. You can't bring two karbanos chatas if you're only chayiv one. That's an absolute issur daraisa. Karban chatas cannot be bab bin nedava. You can't bring karban chatas as a nedava, so you can only bring one of them. But which one? Whichever one he wants. He wants to get a kapara through the parent, that's fine. Through the mother, that's fine. Through the offspring, that's fine as well. If you're going to say that the fetus is considered independent of the mother, so I understand why he has options. Because it's as if he designated two separate animals as a korban chatas, where just in case he would lose one, the other one would take its place. And the halacha is, if you set aside, designate two animals as a korban chatas, where one would take the place of anyone that would get lost, you could choose which one to take, get a kapara with, and the other one you let it graze until it develops a mum. But if you assume that the fetus is considered part of the mother, havle vlad chatas, or vlad chatas lemisa azil, then the offspring should be considered a vlad chatas, and the halach is a vlad chatas has to be left to die. So you shouldn't have the option of getting a kapara with the offspring. So Ishtik, he didn't have a response to that. It seems that this is a pretty good raya that Ubar lav yarechimahu. Amalei, Dilma shayni asim tichsiv asher yivaldu hakasav talabaleida. But then he said, no, maybe it's just a different din over here when it comes to yichus, because it says asher yivaldu, where it's clearly talui in leida, and that's why we follow the yichus of the mother. Amar le karkafna chazise lereshech beni amude karkafna. The Masoras Shas points out that Rashi writes in Masech Zerev and karkafna means an adam chashuv. So he said, you're an adam chashuv, but I saw your own Rebbe when he was saying over this teaching, Kiyam Rabbi Yochanan Lahashmaita, when Rabbi Yochanan said this over, so your own Rabbi, Rabba, said this answer. So this isn't your own answer, meaning the Abaye wasn't the one that came up with this idea. Rabba had already come up with this idea that it was Asher Yivaldu, that it's totally in Leida. Taimu d'ksiv Asher Yivaldu, Habi Alma Bas Ravu Asher Din Leida. So says Gemara, okay, because specifically when it comes to Mitzri, the pasuk says Asher Yivaldu, that's why we follow the yichus of the mother. The implication is that otherwise we'd follow the yichus of the father. Elahada Amar Rava, Nachris Mu'uberesh Nisgaira, but not in Sarach Tvila, Amay in Sarach Tvila. When we say that a non-Jewish pregnant woman that's being Megayar, the offspring does not require Tvila, why does the offspring not require Tvila? Meaning if the offspring is Basar, the father, if we would follow the father, so then it should require Tvila, it shouldn't be just part of the mother. So it says Gemara, V'chitem Mishum to Rabbi Yitzchak, and if you're going to say, well, based on Rabbi Yitzchak, it doesn't require Tvila, meaning Rabbi Yitzchak holds that the Tvila of the mother would work for the child. It's not that the child didn't have a Tvila. The child had a Tvila when it was a fetus inside the mother. Why? What does Rabbi Yitzchak teach us? Dam Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Torah, Ruba Umakbir Alav Chotzeitz, Ruba She'enu Makbir Alav, Eno Chotzeitz. On a Daraisa level, the only thing that's going to be a Chatzitza in Tvila is if it's something that covers a majority of the body, and one is makpid about it. But if it's something that covers a majority of the body and you're not makpid about it, you don't want to get rid of that thing that's covering you, it's not going to be a chatzitza. And over here, the baby certainly does not want to get rid of the mother that's surrounding him. He needs that in order to survive, so it's not going to be a chatzitza, and therefore it's not going to be a chatzitza on a daraisa level. Now, the truth is, midrabanan regozer on a rubo she'ein makpid alav as well. Where regozer on a rubo she'ein makpid and on a miyut hamakpid, those are both chatzitzas midrabanan. If a woman nowadays were to go to the mikveh and discover afterwards that she had a chatzitza that was on a miyut hamakpid of her body, we'd make her go to the mikvah again, even after she was with her husband. We wouldn't say b'diavad it's okay. A chatzitza midrabanan is a chatzitza. But says Rashi over here, hachu kimna adar reisa. The assumption is that even though there is such a din d'rabanan for the fetus, we would follow the din d'raisa. We wouldn't go with the din d'rabanan. Now Rashi doesn't explain why we wouldn't be gozer in this case. He just says hemidu d'vrei mal din tara. We'd follow the din d'raisa that a rubo she'ino makbid is not. You very rarely have that example in practical halacha, an example of a rubo she'eno makbid. Never that I could think of have an example of a rubo she'eno makbid. You always have the examples of chatzitza that we know of are all cases of a miut of the body, but you're makbid about it. You don't want it to be there. And then you have to just carefully define what's called makbid. There are big discussions about casts and stitches and fillings and all sorts of things that are all miut, they're all a minority of the body. So there is Piskei Tshuva quotes from one of the poskim, was it Zichron Yosef or something, that says that if it's something that, the way Ramesh understands it, something that you need to be on your body and it can't become something that you want to get rid of at any given time. There's a set time before which you cannot get rid of it, then in that time period, it's not called that you're makbid. It's called eno makbid. It's a tremendous kula. Post can use that in terms of, let's say, stitches that can only come out in starting in 3 weeks. So it could be that in the interim, at least according to this sheet and poskim, that in the interim, if it can't possibly come out before then, so then it's called that it's eno makbid. As opposed to a ring, even though right now she wants the ring on, she doesn't want to take the ring off, but at any time she might decide to need dough where she's going to want the ring off. So at any given moment, it could become something that's makbid, then that's called makbid. That's a big sniff lakula that a lot of poskim use, is that daya in Piskei Tshuva. Very complicated issues with these kinds of things, with casts and stitches and things like that. Very, very difficult issues. But again, Rashi doesn't explain over here why we wouldn't be... I once thought I had a case of a rubo makbid. Someone asked me, a woman was making a bar mitzvah and she wanted to look good for the pictures, so she got a spray tan on her whole body and she wanted to know if that's going to be a chatzitza in the mikvah.
So I thought, oh, that's a rubo she'eino makbid, right? Maybe I thought we finally have a case. It covers the whole body, but it's eino makbid. It turns out that it's not a chatzitza at all, because it just becomes part of the skin. And as you shed your skin, this tan goes away. So it's not even a chatzitza, it's not anything. So I was a little disappointed. I still don't have a case of a rubo she'eino makbid. But the Rashi doesn't explain why over here. What's the pshat in rubo she'eino makbid? Why is it that the Rabbanan were not gozer? So different Rishonim say different things over here. The Ritva says the reason they were not gozer is because an uber shenazgairi imo, where the mother's tevila works for him, is a milsul shchiach. How many pregnant women are megayir? So they were mamid din al din Torah that a ruber in a makbid, the rabbanim were not gozer in milsul shchiach. Tos Yishanim says because of the maila of gerus, the rabbanim were hemidu al din Torah, meaning whatever we can do to help someone who's being nichnas tachas kanfei hashchina, so the rabbanim aren't going to make chumras when it comes to a maila of gerus. Now the Yehuda says that we're not machmir because it's yafshar ben yinacher. Meaning, what else are you going to do? That's the best way for the baby to go through a tevila without drowning him is by having his tevila count for his mother. Meaning, no, he doesn't really mean that. What he means is that there's no other way to be tovel the baby. Meaning, it's not like you could take off the chatzitza. Meaning, normally, when you have a chatzitza, so you remove the chatzitza. What do you do? You can't remove the baby from the mother. So that's Yef Shabin Yinacha for this tefillah in his current matzav, so that, therefore, the Rabban will not go there. But bottom line is, frankly, Gemara of Amrav Kana, Lo Shanu El Rubo, Aval Kulo Chotzeit. But wait a second, how can you use that idea, that Rubo She'eno Makbid is not a problem for tefillah? This is it rubo, this is kulo, and therefore it should be a problem for tevila. Says Gemara, shiny uber dahenu rabise. Even though the uber is kulo, it's he's entirely surrounded by his mother, but still, since that's the way he grows and that's the way he develops, it's not considered a chatzitza at all. That's the concept. Hainu rabise, since that's the way he develops, it's not considered a chatzitza at all. Ravina am Rabbi Yochanan bu'umos halachachar azachar. When it comes to the nations of the world, we always follow the father in terms of the yichus. Nisgairu, once they're megayir, halachachar pagum shebishnehem. You follow whoever is the more pagum of the two yichus. Bu'umos halachachar azachar kedetanya. Where do we see that by umos ha'olam we follow the zachar? The Brisa says as follows. Minayin lachem min umos shebala kananis. V'holid ben shata rashe l'knoso be'aved. How do I know that if one of the other umos ha'olam that are not one of the seven nations that inhabited Eretz Yisrael, who we have an obligation to kill, to wipe out, marries a Canaanite, someone who is part of those nations, that they have a child that you're allowed to be kona the child is an eved, you don't have to kill them. Shnemar v'gami bnei atoshvim agari machem mehem tiknu. So you might think that if the father is a Kanani, and the mother is from a different nation, that the offspring is still okay to buy his neved. Only from those that are born ba'artzchem, not from those that are outsiders. The assumption that we're working with, Rashi explains, it's that the derech isha lios b'makoma, that normally the woman stays where she was, and the husband moves to wherever the woman is from. So that's why we're assuming that no ladim v'lo menagerim ba'artzchem teaches us specifically that if the woman is a native Canaanite, then the child is going to be okay because the father is not. But if the woman is from the outside and the father is a native Canaanite, so that's going to be a problem. Nisgayru halachach pagum shebishnehem. But if they're megayir, then we follow the more pagum of the two yichus. B'mai. What are we talking about exactly? Ilem b'mitzri shenasa amonis. If you talk about a mitzri that marries an amonis, my pagum shebishnehem ispa amoni v'lo amonis. Then there is no pagum shebishnehem. Pagum shebishnehem sounds like they're both pagum in some way. But if a mitzri marries an amonis, she's not pagum at all. Amoni v'lo amonis. Amonis is perfectly mutter love of bekal. So there's no issue at all. So ella ba'amoni shenasa mitzris. No, we must be talking about the other way. That it's an amoni who is asa love of bekal that marries a mitzris. Now the thing is, by mitzrim, third generation is ready mutter. By an amoni, it's not. See, Zachravi Shadya Basra Amoni. So if the offspring is a male, we say, okay, that's an Amoni, and therefore he's going to be Asa forever. Ina Kevavi, but if the offspring is a female, Shadya Basra Mitzris. Then the worst situation for that baby would be to be labeled a Mitzris, because if it was labeled an Amonis, it's Mutter. So it's got to be a Mitzris. So that's what it means. You go with the Pagum Shebishnehem. In identifying the Yichus of the child, you go with the worst of the two possible Yichusin. Says the Mishnah.
Mamzerun and Nesinin Asurin, the Isura Nisra Olam, Echad Zucharim, Vecha Nekevos. Mamzerun and Nesinin are Asur, and that Isra lasts forever and ever, both males and females. Omer Reish Lakish says a great Chiddush. Mamzeres Laachar Asara Doros Mutaras. That a Mamzeres, a female dafka, mamzeres, becomes mutter after 10 generations. It's only the male mamzerim that are forever and ever. A mamzeres after 10 generations is clean. Yalef asiri asiri me'amoni mo'avi. We learn the word asiri that says by Yamanu Moav, and the word asiri that it says by mamzerim. Since it says lo yava amoni mo'avi b'kal Hashem, gam dor asiri lo yava lem b'kal Hashem. So it identifies dor asiri, and it says by mamzer lo yava mamzer b'kal Hashem, gam dor asiri lo yava lo b'kal Hashem. So we say ma'ala alan nekevos mutaros, just like by Amon Moav, the females are mutter, afkan nekevos mutaros, so here also, the females are mutter. I email alan miyad, afkan miyad. Well, if we're really going to learn from Amon Moav, by Amon Moav, the nekevos are mutter right away, you don't need to wait 10 generations. Should we say the same thing by Mamzeres? Ki ani gzereshava me'asir ve'elach. No, the gzereshava only works for 10 generations and on, but it doesn't work before 10 generations. Aiva anantnan, mamzerim nesin nasun v'isurin nesir olam, echad zchar mvechon nekevos. But that's against our Mishnah. What Reish Lakish is saying is against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that both male and female, mamzer, mamzeres, they're all usher, nisr olam, goes forever and ever, even after 10 generations. It says, well, look, Kasha, hakamand yamar don mina umina, hakamand yamar don mina vu'uki ba'asra. It's all a question of how you learn a gezer shava. When you learn halacha A from halacha B through a gezer shava, do we take all of the details of halacha B and apply them to halacha A, or do we take a din of halacha B and then apply it in the context of the normal rules of halacha A? Meaning, how much is the original halacha still going to be going to play a role in that which is learned from Gzer Shava? Rashi on the first wide line on the bottom explains the machlokas. So Rashi explains, Reish Lakish Savar, Kamand Yamar Don Mina Umina, that we learn entirely from the other area. Malalan Adolam, Afkan Adolam, that just like by Amoni Moavi, it's forever, so here also it's forever. Umina, mala alon zecharim v'lo nekevos, afkan zecharim v'lo nekevos. And therefore, just like by Amanu Moav, it's only males and not females, over here also it's only males and not females, at least midar asir ve'eluch u'digarmina, ta'akol asar lo esrich lo nemeluch b'gzer shava. First 10 generations, we wouldn't need the gzer shava in the first place, so we only need the gzer shava for generation 10 and on, but once we're using the gzer shava, we have to use it entirely, and therefore we only apply it to males and not to females. But Vitana Didan, the author of our Mishnah, Savar Lakamand Yamadomi Navuki Ba'asra, would say that we take a detail from Amanu Moav and apply it to Mamzer, but not all the details. Don mina malalan adolam af mamzer adolam. We learn from Amanu Moav, just like Amanu Moav forever, so to Mamzer is forever. Vuki ba'asra k'dimeikara yud doros tikra echad zucharim vechad nekevos. But we apply it to the details that we know about Mamzerim. Just like we know about Mamzerim already from the pasuk by Mamzerim, that the first generation of the first 10 generations are usher both male and female. So d'ksev mamzer mumzar hachinami adolam d'maisin mizayir shava echad zucharim vechad nekevos. So that which we learn from Amanu Moav, that beyond 10 generations Zasser, we apply to both Zecharim and Nekevos. Shalos Rabbi Lazar, Mamzeres Lachar Asar Dari Mahu. So they asked Rabbi Lazar, who do we paskin like? What's the din of a Mamzeres after 10 generations? So Amr Lahem, Mi Yitain Li Dor Shlishi V'Ata Arenu. You never have it. They don't even survive 3 generations. They all die. So if you'd even show me a case where it was 3 generations, I'd be Metaher. What a strange way to answer the question. He didn't really answer the Shaila. So Tosu says, yeah, that was Rabbi Lazar's minhag. It was not to answer the Shaila. It was to get out of answering the Shaila. Tosu, the Gemara says in Masech that Rabbi Lazar's minhag was lo amar davar shloshem mipi rabo. He would never say anything that he didn't hear over from his rebbeim. So when people would ask him a shayla, if it was something that he didn't hear from his rebbeim, he would try not to answer directly. He would say something else that he did hear from his rebbeim as a way around it. So that's what he was doing over here as well. Alma kasev mamzer lochai. So it sounds like Rabbi Lazar holds that a mamzer can't survive. V'cheinam Rafunu mamzer lochai. Rafunu also says that way. V'anantran mamzer nasun v'isun nisur olam. But our Mishnah says that mamzer remain usher forever and ever. Am Rabbi Zera le didim mefarshim the minei Rav Yehuda diyadi chayi. If it's a mamzerus that we know about, so then they could survive because they're not going to be a problem
for yichus, everyone's going to be aware of them. Everyone's going to know to stay away from them. The lo yadia lo chay. If it's a mamzeris that we don't know about, they're not going to survive. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to see to it that the hashkacha will have it that we shouldn't be able to marry into them, so that they'll die. The idea of a lo yadia ad tasadari chayit felo chayit. If we have sveikos about them, it's sort of known, not totally known. So for three generations they could survive. Beyond three generations, they're not going to survive. There was someone in Rabbi Ami's neighborhood that they were machrez that he was a mamzer. So he came crying, "How are you going? You're ruining me. You're going to tell everyone I'm a mamzer." He says, "Ruining you? I'm letting you live. If people don't know you're a mamzer, you're going to die. Now that people know you're a mamzer, you'll be able to live. So you should thank me that I'm letting it be known that you're a mamzer." There's a fascinating discussion in Poskim. To what extent we treat a baby that's a mamzer like a regular Jewish kid, and to what extent we do things that are different to set him apart. Meaning a bris milah. Do you do a regular bris milah by a child as a mamzer? So the Shulchan Aruch Paskim is a mamzer is Yisrael who make a bracha, do a regular bris milah. But some of the Poskim say that the minag is the Chuvas Chaim Biyad, quote such a minag, that the minag is that if you'd mal a regular baby in shul, you'd mal the mamzer baby in the Azara, the Beis HaKnesses, in the courtyard of the shul, not in the Chatzar Beis HaKnesses, not in the actual shul itself. And the sensitivity that they try to balance is that on the one hand he's a Jew and he's chayv in mitzvahs and a mamzer tamal chacham is kodem l'koyin gadol ha'aretz and he could be great one day. On the other hand, it has to be known that he's a mamzer, and it's something that we're not. So the question: do you say? They discuss, for example, do you say a brach k'shem shenichlas ribis can yikanis? Can you kind of total the chuppah? We hope not. Yeah, so they the poskim say no. You don't say such a bracha that for a child of a mamzer. There's even discussion. Maril writes that we should call the mamzer kidar. That you should give him a different name. We should give him the name kidar based on the pasuk kidar tapuchos hema. That when our yichus is messed up, that's the name kidar that you should give. Another poskim say, how can you saddle a kid with that kind of baggage? He has no chance but to be a rasha then. If you're going to give him a name where everyone's going to know right away that he's a mamzer. No, let him become a mamzer talmud chacham, and you shouldn't saddle. Okay, that's a fascinating discussion in Poskim about the mamzer. Okay, Amar Rav Chana bar Adin, Nesinim David gozer aleim. David was gozer on the Nesinim. Shnemar v'yikra melech l'gavonim v'yomar aleim v'gavonim lo bim le'yisol hema. My time of gozer aleim. Why did David make this gezera? So we're going to start the story today. We're not going to finish it. It goes well into tomorrow's daf. Tichsiv v'yira v'yimei David sholosh shanim shana achar shana. There was a 3-year famine in the days of David. Shana rishana amar lem Hashem avdei avodos. Maybe the cause of the famine is that people are of the Avodah Zarah. That's what it says in Shema, is the cause of famine. There was no Avodah Zarah. Maybe there are people doing arayos. That because of Znus, there was no Znus. Maybe people are making commitments to tzedakah in public and not fulfilling their commitments. That when do you have no ruach v'geshem? When people take credit for false gifts. They didn't find that problem either. So David said, I got to figure this out. So he goes to the room of Tumim. How do you see from Pnei Hashem that it means he asked the room of Tumim? Amar Blazer asked you Pnei Pnei. Ksiv hacha veivakish David as Pnei Hashem. Uksiv hasam v'shal lo b'mishpat u'urim l'fnei Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells David HaMelech, the reason this is happening is because of Shaul and Beis HaDamim that killed the Givonim. El Shaul Shalom Nisper Kalecha, it's about Shaul that no one ever gave a proper aspirin for him. And also the fact that Shaul killed all of the Givonim. That's why this famine is happening. So the Gemara is going to continue about Hashem tomorrow. We'll continue the story of how that led to David being Gozer on the Nesinim and what it even means that Shaul killed Givonim. He never killed a single Givoni person as far as we know.